All business, all day, super serious. Ryan Day has returned to the Woody Hayes Athletic Center. Welcome to Snap Judgments. That is Jeremy Birmingham. I am Austin Ward. That's on the short list for the most intense and eager to get to practice version of the Ohio State coach that I've seen in 7 years.
It was interesting. He seemed to be very locked in on the idea that there's a lot of things that the Buckeyes need to improve on. I think this actually started today. We never know who's going to ask the first question. You never know what the first question is going to be. Sometimes it's goofy. Sometimes it's serious. Sometimes it puts the coach on his back heel. Sometimes it gets him in a mood. I think that the idea early in this press conference, it was brought up that Ryan Day should use these next few weeks to get guys playing at depth, mm-hmm. and saying, well, you're going to play the backup quarterback, you're going to do that, you're going to do this. And Ryan said, we have to win first.
Yeah.
And I think that sort of put him in a mindset to say, hey, we haven't won a game. And then, of course, with the college football playoff reveal tonight, the first rankings, multiple people who are trying to get sound clips for television news and stuff like that asked him. And that's like the last question that these coaches want to think about.
I would just recommend they could go back to any point from the last 5 years and he will have given the same answer. Just pretend that he gave that answer.
Do you think in the future for these moments he should on a Tuesday press conference like today just walk in and say, first things first, we know the playoff rankings are tonight.
And we don't care.
We don't care. We have to win on Saturday. Instead, you get multiple people asking the same question.
Yeah. I mean, that would be helpful, I think, for everybody. And again, that's not for me to sit here and say that, because everyone has their own job to do, and I certainly understand that. But Ryan Day is giving the same word-for-word answer to that every single year. We know that Ohio State doesn't care about it. We also know that when they come out later on Tuesday night, we don't need to talk about it because it won't change the situation for Ohio State. There is fodder for who's 11, who's 12, who's 13, and projecting out what the matchups would look like for Ohio State. But they have to beat Purdue. They have to beat UCLA. They have to beat Rutgers. They have to win the rivalry game. And then we can talk about what would happen in the postseason beyond that.
Maybe it doesn't matter if they're number one or number two tonight, so we're not going to talk about it after this second.
It won't even matter after the first weekend in December if they're number one or number two. If Texas A&M is number one on Tuesday night and they stay number one through the end of the month, Ohio State's still going to go to the Rose Bowl.
Yeah.
It would make a difference of playing number seven or number eight. It won't make any difference. So maybe we'll talk about it on Three Thoughts Thursday. We're not going to talk about it on Snap Judgments on a Tuesday, and we're not going to talk about it on a Wednesday stock watch on the beat. But as we dive in more to what Ryan Day was saying, you made the point. He's saying they haven't accomplished anything yet. They still have four games left in the regular season. It feels like they're at the finish line. They're really not even close. And so there are still things that Ryan Day is trying to emphasize, trying to get better. Why I say that, it felt like he had had three cups of coffee before he got in there. That's not normally the way he gets through these press conferences, but he was also holding a Sharpie in his right hand like he was already out on the practice field. At one point, he stopped and wrote down a note behind the podium. His mind was racing to get out on the practice field.
Well, because he's right. If you don't win on Saturday, if you don't win next Saturday, if you don't win the week after that, all of the other conversation that in multiple people, including myself today, asked about Julian Sain and his development, and if that's a surprise to Ryan Day in some way that he is this good this early, and all of the conversation about the Heisman, and Ryan, to his credit, then tried to bring up the Blitnikoff, say Carnell and Jeremiah. You can tell he's trying to balance a lot of things here, but for him and for these Buckeyes, there are, as we said last week, there's maybe nine games left of the season. You're not anywhere close. It is a different mindset for college football than we had ever had to have, and it started last year. And I don't know that a lot of people have really wrapped their brains around 8 games into the season. There's still more than half of the season to play if Ohio State wants to win the national championship, and that is everything. So you can be happy with the way the tight ends blocked last week and feel good about it, and he did. He said that he thought that was their best game. You can be encouraged by what he saw to James Peoples, and he was. And he said that was probably, hopefully a moment that really sends James to a next level because he saw emotion and all the things. But this is a team that can get better, which is shocking and kind of scary, I think, but they can get better. And I think the best part of today is just getting more into Ryan Day's brain and hearing what he actually thinks about what goes on behind the scenes, and him talking about the halftime adjustment, the throw to Carnell Tate on the second play of the second half against Penn State, and how the Buckeyes hadn't ever run that play from that formation. They didn't practice it. They put it in the game plan at halftime. And then they come out and they dial it up on the second play of the half, and it completely ended the game. It was a back-breaking play in the second play of the second half when you're up by 3 points. And I don't know that I've ever, in retrospect, has a second play of a half in a game that's a three-point game ever ended a game like that? Like, it was immediate. The game was over. Yeah. There was no more game.
It was over. And that's the second time in a row. That's two consecutive games where Ryan Day has come in and something has happened. It's been involving Carnell Tate both times. You're like, well, he had an injury against Wisconsin. They slid Carnell Tate into the slot. He hadn't repped this and since his freshman year, Ryan Day said, and he was so excited to reveal some of this stuff in a way that he hasn't always done. But I don't know if it's because he wants to be able to talk about Carnell Tate, who has become unfairly in some ways the third wheel in the conversation about the Heisman for Jeremiah Smith and Julian Sand. Like, hey, this guy is really good, and he allows us to do some things that we can just do on the fly. Now, Carnell Tate's not doing it alone. Julian Sand has to make the throw.
Yeah.
The pass protection had to be good. All these other things play into that. But that's happened now a couple times in a row where Ryan Day is peeling that curtain back a little bit more, not just to the day-to-day and the process driving that the way that he has, which is the don't get bored and don't get tired of me saying don't get bored, but also like the things that they're doing that is really next level that, you know, it happened in the past. We know that it happened in the past, but it would sort of be like, well, you don't want to talk about this publicly as much, or this is how we handle that business or this adjustment or what we do in the locker room. And that is, I think, another element of being 7 years in and having that trophy on his resume.
It's also, I think, as people always love when we psychoanalyze, but like
at
some point, you have to get bored of answering the same questions the same way all the time, right? I mean, the minutiae of football, and that's why, I mean, Ryan
Day. Don't get bored of press conferences.
Ryan Day brought up David and Goliath and how Goliath didn't wake up in the morning thinking he was going to get killed by a rock. And like,
he wasn't worried about the stone.
Right. He was worried about other things.
But the issues were always there. The stone was always
there. And so, like, I've never really, I mean, this program obviously is not one that shies away from faith-based discussions and whatever, but Ryan Day himself has always steered away from making those sort of points. And to bring up David and Goliath, said there was a reflection on David and Goliath. Like, when do they have time for that around here? I don't know. He doesn't look like he slept in a month, but yet he's still finding a way to find different ways to say the same thing. And I think for just, it's really cool to watch him, like, evolve into this head coach CEO that he is. Like, we spent all last year talking about Ryan Day needs to be a CEO, and now like we're starting to see real change.
Yeah.
And like the team benefits in a major way because you're getting this much more fleshed out full version of what Ryan Day actually provides this team. He said, I get to talk to my team for 1 minute at halftime, and all I was worried about was, are they going to panic? And then said nobody said there was panic,
and they didn't.
So
all right, so vibes aside, there is some injury intrigue, and we're going to have to talk about it probably for the next 4 days because Ryan Day left it to be an open-ended mystery. We'll be in here again after practice on Wednesday night, but there are all three of the top guards, Luke Montgomery, Tegra Shibola, and Josh Padilla, are dealing with they look to be ankle injuries. I don't know. We'll just call them.
What the hell did Penn State do in those last three plays?
I don't know, but they all left with some form of injury. And Ryan Day said two out of the three are definitely going to be good to go for practice. And one, they're going to have to evaluate. And he didn't specify which one is which. This is another example where it's the one thing that always kind of gets me. It seems like it would be helpful to remove the intrigue around that because everyone is going to be trying to find out who exactly and why and what's the extent, because that's also the one position that we've been talking about as the potential stone. Yeah.
But the funny thing is that I believe, at least you and I had discussed this driving home from the game on Saturday, like it was time to put this conversation about right guard to bed because Tegra Shibola clearly raised his game again when he felt a little bit of the fire under him. And now we don't know if he's going to be able to go this week. I'm going to inside baseball it here if it's fine. Saturday, walking off the field, I happened to see number 51, Luke Montgomery. I said, you're good. He said, I'm good. When we walked out here today for snap judgments, I saw number 62 out here, and he seemed to be doing some stuff. So the question, now I'm starting to process of elimination.
Yeah.
These conversations, like, we don't, if Tegra Shibola is not going to surrender that job, which he clearly fought back against in the last 2 weeks when the Buckeyes had their off week, came out, played his best game of the year, there's no more conversation. But now there's conversation again. And you're right. It'd be easier if Ryan Day just said, player X has a little bit of an issue. We don't know if he's going to go today. We'll see how he feels. And instead,
I think in this case, let's just, if we're going to recklessly speculate, I don't like doing that, but if we're going to hypothesize that it is Tigran Shibola who has the longest path back to full health by Saturday, in this case, again, don't know. We're going to wait. We'll see.
We'll know tomorrow night.
We're gonna get a much better idea as the week goes on. But just for the sake of discussion, in this case, Tegra did enough, in my opinion, and I think in terms of the grade sheet, that job is solidly his. And if he isn't healthy enough, and then Josh Padilla slides in, then now you have a different conversation that you have to deal with about, you know, losing your job due to injury, or what if? And I know that that's the nature of the beast as well, that you have to continue to perform. But like, if you had said Tegra did nothing to lose the job, he actually solidified himself, he responded to the challenge, and maybe he'll be a little bit banged up, and then that could be a great opportunity to build the depth for Josh Padilla. I personally don't see any problem with that, but again, I'm fighting a battle that I know I can't win because it's been going on for a long time.
Yeah, and I know that there's people out there who think that we've been like belabored this point for the last few weeks, but again, when you're dealing with a team that is so close to like everything you could ask for in a team, the little stone is something we have to talk about. And I was encouraged by Tegra Shibola's effort on Saturday against Penn State. I think that it sets him up for a nice run again, similar to what happened last year. So now we'll see. Again, we'll know Wednesday night. We shouldn't wildly speculate. We shouldn't hypothesize. But those little pieces that I personally witnessed and heard make you go, okay, well, maybe that's what it is. Could be completely wrong. Maybe Padilla was out here because he's
trying to work it out.
We don't know. Maybe Luke Montgomery woke up on Sunday and it wasn't feeling fine. I don't know. We'll find out on Wednesday, but it is something to watch as you get into a three-game stretch that we had sort of circled as like the time to make a move if you have to. And now maybe you feel like you don't have to, but maybe now you have to. So I guess we'll find out what that means on Wednesday night. The good news is Ohio State plays Purdue on Saturday. The Buckeyes are 28.5-point favorites.
I don't know. Purdue just pushed the Wolverines to the breaking point.
They are playing hard, and I think that that's what Ryan Day, he didn't obviously get asked much about Purdue. The Buckeyes
did get asked about going to Ross-Ade Stadium.
He did get asked about the nightmare fuel of Ross-Ade Stadium, but you know, ultimately, Ryan Day, in every one of these press conferences, tries to bring people back to the fact that there's a game on Saturday, and all of the ethereal things that we're thinking about and talking about and trying to get him to comment on the big picture of college football and award season and this and that. He's like, oh, game.
Just win it.
Just win the game. So, it's funny how that doesn't apply to basketball, though. Because, you know, Mick Walker from Letterman Row and I were talking at the Ohio State basketball game on Monday night, and he said, if you win every game by 16 points, you're a national champ. And I said, okay, Mick, you tried. But
he trying to steal my stuff?
Yeah, I think he was mocking you initially. But the point is, for Ohio State, on the football field.
My gosh.
On the football field, this team has big, big goals. Yeah. And, like, you can trip up on the smallest things. And
stones.
Ryan Day was asked.
They're stones.
Television's Adam King asked, how does Ohio State avoid the upset?
Mm-hmm.
And I wanted to scream. They just lost to a 20-point underdog in November last year. But I didn't want to embarrass Adam the King.
Now you're doing it on Snap Judgments.
Ah, dang it. Sorry. If Adam's watching this, I'm sorry. But Ohio State did lose to a 20-point underdog last year. So to say they've always avoided the upset is incorrect. Now, it is good that Ryan Day is aware of the fact that this game is important for Ohio State, even though it doesn't feel like it.
They're all important. And if you don't think they're important, Berm, try losing one. A wise man once said that 7 years ago, right before he took the job on an interim basis.
Yeah. That was actually his introductory press conference when he was given the job permanently in December of 2018.
I think he also said it when...
Probably. Either way.
When he was in charge.
Either way. What else? What else?
But I've heard him say... Nothing. That's the news for today. That's Snap Judgments. We will be back with the beat on Wednesday to do some stocks, maybe a little buy or sell action for Berm. He likes it when we spice it up that way.
I like spicy the meatballs.
So we'll put a little spice in that pepper. Thanks so much for joining us on 97.1 10TV, 10TV Plus, Apple, Spotify, Roku, anywhere else that you get Snap Judgments. We sincerely appreciate you. We'll talk to you again soon. He's Berm. I'm Austin. Bye-bye.
AI has taken over the internet. Wrong answers, made-up facts. You ask a simple question and get a generated essay nobody asked for. Technology trying to decide for you and still getting it wrong. The internet didn't used to be this way. When you just want to search anything online and find what you need, Startpage is the private search engine that keeps it simple. Real links, less noise, and we don't keep track of what you asked. Try Startpage at startpage.com. That's startpage.com.